Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for, again, for a second service in the hall. I just pray there were more people here to enjoy it. But, Father, we just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And know and rest in the promise that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'll be there in the midst. And I pray that you would minister to each one of us tonight. I pray you too, Father, for all those that aren't here and could be here. I pray for those, Lord, for that aren't able to be here and would love to be here. For those, Lord, that really do need to be here. I pray for our friends and neighbours around and about us that don't yet know you as Saviour. And I pray for this up and coming open night, Lord. Bless us and keep us and watch over us, I pray. And please work in our hearts and minds as we spend this time singing your praises and reading your word. Just love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Right, take the wee black books and we'll start in there. I have a couple picked from there this evening. If I can just find them, then we'll do that. Number 31. The first one is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Number 28 is Calvary Covers It All. Amen.
Are dinner than all, and the Lord.
Psalm 1, middle of your Bible, and you should be pretty much in Psalms. If you hit Job, keep going to the right and you'll hit Psalms. If you hit Proverbs, go to the left and you'll hit Psalms. Like the goat, do you remember the golden shaft? Left a bit, right a bit, up a bit, down a bit, fire. Amen. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Alrighty, I think we've got a couple of uninvited guests up on the island. I'm going to have to come down and do some magic up there in the next day or two. Anyway, please do remember our wee blue prayer list. There's, please do pray for our, all of our absent friends. And we miss Will and Lynn and Frank and Pat and Steve and Colin and Charlotte. And anybody else that would that could be here, we miss them this evening when they're not here, and we need to be prayed for. Obviously, there is a little bit of a priorities problem, so pray for them. But just one other thing that I came across in the news today: Justin Trudeau has taken steps to bring euthanasia into Canada. And the thing that really tickles me about all of these wicked leaders is how much they want other people to use these new rules, these new laws. They want them to apply to other people, but they never ever want those rules to apply to themselves. I saw it on a thing on YouTube, and I suggested that Mr. Trudeau should lead the way in showing us the benefits of euthanasia. I don't know if I got any likes or anything like that, but it's very funny. All of these rules, all of these laws always apply people.
It's not like the Word of God. All of God's laws apply to every single man and woman and child. But I tell you what, this Word is getting darker and darker. Anyway, we'll have a word of prayer. We'll sing another song. And we'll start with that.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, thank you for all the work in the church, Lord. It seems so odd to be in such a big hall, but it's nice for it all to be done and everything to be nice. And I thank you for it, Lord, for the time that you give us, for the strength, for the wherewithal, and for the provision, Lord. And we do thank you. Please watch over us and keep us, I pray, Lord, and help us and keep us, and strengthen us and encourage us. I pray as well that you'd work in the hearts and minds of those around and about, and prepare us, Lord, I pray, to receive new church, new folks coming to church, to save new folks, Lord, and help them to grow and to learn more about you. Just watch over us now, Lord, and bless us as we take this time, lifting up your praises. I pray, Lord, for private prayer requests. You know Norman, you know ours, and Lane's, and Colin, and Charlotte's, and Will's, and Pat and Steve's, Lord. And I pray for Steve especially. I know he enjoyed being out yesterday, and I know he enjoyed huffing and puffing and giving off bag loads and just the back and forth, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you be with him today. I know it took a lot out of him. Lord, we love you and thank you, and we pray your good hand upon us this day. Amen. Amen. Let's sing another song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Number 29. And I will try. My apologies for getting the verses wrong or for missing a verse from time to time. Sometimes I'm just singing it there, I'm just enjoying it, and I lose track almost completely of where I'm supposed to be.
I see the stars.
Right. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 3 with me this morning. This morning? You can do it this morning if you can do that. I need your name and the number of your TARDIS. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3 this evening. How's that? There you go. Probably the most referred to portion of God's Word, and certainly contains the best known verse of Scripture, and I think in the whole history of man. I want to spend a minute or two on the subject of a little bit of light, or a little light. I'm glad we have a lot of light at the church. I was just thinking, I keep looking up to the left and the right to make sure the two spotlights are on and they're gone. But I have one, two, three, and probably a bit of another one coming up behind me. I've got all manner of spotlights on the Bible, and that is a great help. So many prayers got answered the past 6 weeks. Amen. John chapter 3. We're going to read the first 21 verses. Probably, mostly these are the words of Jesus Christ. But John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that hath come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Verses 19, 20, and 21 are the verses that we're going to concentrate on this morning, definitely this evening. But I want to comment on a few on the rest of this chapter before we get there. So, a wee quick prayer and then we're going to go again. Heavenly Father, we do indeed need you to guide us through this portion of your word. Please help us, Lord, with our understanding and with our trust and with our faith in you. We just love you and praise you. We pray you too, Lord, for brothers and sisters across the world that have trusted in you, Lord. We pray you for encouragement, for comfort, for strength, for wisdom, for boldness. Lord, for chastening and straightening, for, like it said in Psalm 2, Lord, for drawing close to you, even, Lord, whenever we have done wrong. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would work in our hearts and lives and don't be done with us. I pray you, Father, too, for all those that know better and should be in your house, no matter where they are in the world, Lord, that they would receive a wee bit of conviction, a niggle, an ear pull, Lord, to boot up the rear end if that's what we need. But Lord, we pray most of all for your will to be done. We know this is the last of the last days, and people do need to hear the gospel, Lord. We leave these things at your feet. Pray for our world leaders, most especially for Israel, Lord. Please help them even now to be a beacon to the world of what a country can be when it puts its faith in you. And for individuals across the world, Lord, pray for provision and protection. Lord, thank you for loving us, most of all for your Son, Christ Jesus. We leave these things at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. This contains one of the most, like I said earlier on, read portions of God's Word. And it's interesting that it starts off with an old minister, an old priest named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, so that means he was well-versed in the Scriptures. And he was a ruler of the Jews. He just wasn't one of the Pharisees. He was actually one of the ones that maybe sat in the Sanhedrin, I think it was called the Sanhedrin, and laid down the law. He made judgments. He was a big cheese. And the interesting thing is, in the next verse, it tells us that he went to visit Jesus one night. And he went at night in case someone saw him go during the day, because there were many rules and laws that were invented to make sure that Jesus' gospel did not get the coverage, if that's the right word, that it deserved. We know from reading later on that if anyone recalls the mind, the man that was blind from birth, they weren't allowed to say anything about Christ or the claim that anyone was Christ in case they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. So people didn't want to be thrown out of church because there was a very real fear, just like there was here in bygone centuries, if you were kicked out of the Protestant church or kicked out of the Catholic church, that you weren't going to get to heaven. So it was a big fear. But he came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of being kicked out of church. And he started questioning Jesus, and he said, Rabbi, you know the way these guys go, Rabbi, we know that thou artest a mighty man that hath cometh down from heaven and from of God. For no man can doeth the miracles that thou doest with thine hands that thou doest, except God be with him. And I'm taking a hand here, but that's literally, he was buttering Jesus up. And Jesus said, if you don't get saved, you're not going to heaven. That's it. If you don't get saved, you're not going from heaven. And that's the starting point. It's not a life of religion. It's not a life in the church. The starting point is, if you don't get saved, you're not going from heaven. Because up until you do get saved, everybody's trying to pay off some imaginary debt that they owe to some imaginary creature that's sitting with a set of balances. Let me tell you, the only creature I know that sits with a set of balances is Lady Justice. And they say that she's blind, but having had experience with the justice system of late, I say she's probably a bit thick as well. But anyway, Nicodemus says, how am I supposed to be born again? Can I go back into my mother's tummy and be born again? And Jesus says, it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. It's a change on the inside that will make a change on the outside. If a soul is truly and honestly born again, I heard somebody say, you'll be a new creature. You'll hate the things you used to love, and you'll love the things you used to hate. And there might be a few things that make a transition, but there's a lot of life choices that a person makes that whenever they get saved, they can't stomach anymore. Drinking, partying, sleeping around, drugs, bad language, all of those things. I have heard of many people that quit them, that they are offended by them, and even if they're still in their own lives, they still offend them as they gather the strength and the reason to quit them. The Lord says, It goes on to Nicodemus. I'm sure I could see Nicodemus's, the wheels turning in his head. And the Lord says to him, don't be so amazed. This isn't a new thing, you know. It's not something that you can exactly put your finger on. It's a little bit like the wind. You can feel the wind on your face, but you don't know where it's come from, and you don't know where it's going to. And he says that's the way it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. They now walk a different path. They, instead of walking on the broad road that leads to destruction, they're walking on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. And it is pretty much undiscernible for the lost man. Simply because you must be born again. You have to be saved by the Spirit. And Nicodemus answers, and I can almost imagine it, to God we're all like little children. But this is supposed to be a man that had studied every word that God had preserved upon the face of the earth at this time, which was about 2/3 of the Word of God. And Jesus says, you're supposed to know all these things. And you don't. He says, I've told you stuff. I've explained to you things, why things are the way they are in the world. Why people behave the way they behave. And you don't believe me. And if you're not going to believe me when I tell you about things that's actually happening in front of your eyes, why would you even believe me about spiritual things, about heavenly things? That's one of the reasons why the Lord gives us prophecy, why the Lord tells us of the effect of salvation upon our hearts and minds. Because it's a very real physical effect upon us. And there's one thing you can't really do, well, I suppose some people might try and do. You can't really deny history. And when God, thousands of years before history actually was recorded that in the future these things would happen, and they're happening exactly like they have happened, it really staggers my imagination, my understanding, that so many people can be so against the Bible when so much of the Bible is literally taking place on their television sets. Anyway, he goes on to say, and he's talking about himself here. He's given a little bit of prophecy. He says that, you know, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The children of Israel in the desert, they sinned against God. They moaned and they complained. And they gave off about God taking them out of Egypt and their life of, in quotes, ease, even though they were being worked into the ground. And so they were given off, and God said, you know what, I'm tired of listening to these people. And he sends a plague of serpents. But before he does that, he prepares a salvation from them. And he says to Moses, Moses, make a brass serpent, stick it in a pole, and stick it upright in the middle of the camp, so it would have been fairly high up, because there were tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. And when this plague of serpents came in, remember, serpents are synonymous with sin and the devil, and bit the people, the instruction was that God is going to send judgment. If you're bitten by a snake, look on the raised up serpent, and you'll be saved. That's where the song from Look and Live comes from. And you know it's going to be exactly the same with the Son of Man. That's what Jesus said. I am going to be lifted up just like the serpent. And he was lifted up on the cross. So that anybody that looks on me, and when I say looks on, it's not just a quick look like that. Anyone that believes on me, that has been lifted up above everybody else, will be saved. They'll not perish. And then he goes on to make the quote about his intentions towards man, about God's intentions towards man. He says, God so loved you, that he gave me to face your punishments so that you could have my eternal life. And once you get it, it's yours forever. Like, everlasting life doesn't have an expiry date. It's not like sausages or bacon or chicken or eggs. It doesn't have a wee stamp on them, good unused before. It's everlasting life. And he explains the basic nature of man. He says, man is not basically good. Man is basically evil. We have a sin nature. And that sets our attitude, our inclination. And our inclinations are always towards devilment and mischief. I think in Northern Ireland we have pretty much perfected making devilment and mischief a desirable trait. That was only for a bit of crack. And we can explain so much away like that. Pulling pranks on people, stealing stuff, taking stuff, and wrecking stuff. And that was just a bit of a laugh. As my dad used to say, if you put a smile on your face when you say something, you get away with murder. And let me tell you, a lot of people have. And they're normally walking the corridors of power in Stormont and Westminster and the White House and various other places. But Jesus is basically saying mankind as a race is condemned. The whole of mankind is condemned. I know some people are going to say, but what about the little babies? Little babies are, people that will never gain an understanding of self, a realization of self. Paul said, I was alive without the law once. There was a time in my life when I rested in God's hands. But then the commandment came, I started to understand what the Bible said about sin. The commandment came, sin revived. In other words, it started to come to life, this thing that brings death started to rear its head in his life, and he says, I died. In other words, I became in sore need of saving. And we also know that if you look back to 1 and 2 Samuel, the account of David committed a grievous sin after his great salvation from Saul and his great rise to power after killing Goliath and being anointed king by Samuel. He committed adultery with a woman, Bathsheba, because he was lying in his bed all day thinking stupid thoughts instead of getting up and doing something. Isn't that half the trouble with people today? Lying around far too much and not being kept busy. And the baby was born, but the Lord made it sick and it died. And all through that time, David mourned for the child and prayed to God and asked God to save the child, but the child died. And people thought, oh goodness, if he's going to be like that when the child's still alive, what's he going to be like when the little baby dies? And even for by the adultery, he organized the murder of the woman's husband so that he could marry her and make it look like, in quotes, a legitimate child. But instead of falling into deeper despair, he washed his face and put on fresh clothes and he said, he can't come to me, but I will go to him. In other words, saying that little child was in heaven, and that David, whenever he died, when his life was over, he would go to heaven too. He was the apple of God's eye. Little children, under a certain age, it differs from child to child. If anything should happen to them, they go straight to heaven. Little babies that are murdered in their mother's wombs go straight to heaven. I am sure that a lot of people might think, oh, that's awful, but I, on the other hand, would say, well, who would want to be born into the family of someone that would consider casually murdering one of their own children? We're wicked. We're wicked. We're condemned. As the Bible says, I think it says in Jeremiah, we're born into trouble as the sparks fly upwards. That is as sure as shooting. And this is the bit that we are thinking on. The state of the world, even 2,000 years ago. This is how bad. This is a sign of the condemnation. This is a sign of the state of mankind. The fact that he is literally on the broad road that leads to destruction. He said that when light has come into the world, Jesus, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Could you imagine people loving sin so much that they would consider consigning themselves to hell and the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity just so they could have another bottle of beer? You would say that's absolutely stupid. Or they could have another shot of vodka. Or they could have another another smoke of the marijuana cigarette. Or they could just throw another couple of cc's of drugs into their body. Or they could pop another pill. And honestly, could you imagine giving up the endless ages of eternity in a body that's quite literally indestructible? Walking streets of gold like transparent glass in a city that's New Jerusalem is like a 1,200 mile cube that is going to sit in the very center of the world, that God is going to be the light of it, that angels are going to walk through, that people who have died in Christ and all of the ages gone past will be living there. Never an ache or a pain. I'll be looking forward to that, especially after the past couple of months. Never an ache or a pain. Never a tear or a worry anymore. In our prime plus. That's the only prime plus that I'm interested in. Not Amazon prime plus, but God's prime plus for the endless ages of eternity. Why would you forsake that for a bottle of beer? It is really going to come down to that. And it is because in so many people's lives, sin, bad habits have got such a grip on. It's almost like the way that ivy grows up the side of a building. You know that, Norman, don't you? When ivy grows up, it looks for the tiniest of cracks and it puts a little tendril in there. And it keeps growing up, looking for more cracks. And that little tendril grows thicker and thicker and thicker. And it reaches in. Do they leach out stuff out of the brick? I don't know. But they literally crack the brick. A fraction of a millimeter at a time as that grows. And it grows and it grows. And it comes to the point that, in many cases, if you were to tear the ivy off of a building, you would literally tear the building down. And that is the way so many people, and their drinking, and their drugs, and their immorality, and their profanity, and their thefts, and lies, and all of it, is such a part of their life, that they think they would die without it. As the Lord said later on, he said, if your right eye offend you, pluck it out. It's better to go to heaven blind than to go to hell whole. Or if your right arm offend you, cut it off. Remember that. You ever hear the old saying, I'd give my right arm for that? The right arm was synonymous with the most dominant part of a body. And without it, you couldn't do anything. Unless, of course, you're lefty. A kippug, as I've been informed quite a lot the past month or two. Where he said, if your right leg offend you, cut it off. It's better to go into heaven blind and halt and maimed than to go to hell whole. It's only talking about going to heaven blind, halt, or maimed. It doesn't say about being in heaven blind, halt, or maimed. And another little verse of scripture that so many people don't know is, for every one that has had to forsake lands, houses, family, friends, career opportunities, whatever it is, for my sake and the gospel, will receive 100-fold in this world. With the persecutions that go along with being a Christian, and in the world to come, everlasting life. So it may seem like you lose an arm or an eye, but God has something so much better waiting for you than the things that you really could be doing without. And yet the thing about it all is that people love this. They love their drink. They think, as I met a girl, not a girl, same age as me, she's a woman and she's in her mid to late 50s, goodness. And hadn't seen her for about 20 years and I didn't recognize her because her hair used to be almost jet black and it was completely grey. And I remember sitting at the table in the old Desmond's work, and they said to me, what do you do for an evening's entertainment? Or what do you do of a night? I'd say, well, a couple of nights a week there's church, and other nights I would go out maybe and do board games or play squash with friends. But I said, but how
Do you never go out for a drink? How do you enjoy yourself? And I'm thinking, I've heard your stories about being out drinking. How do you enjoy yourself drinking? You don't know much you've had, you don't know how much you've spent, you don't even know half times where you wake up in the morning and you're supposed to be enjoying yourself. And just because everybody else is doing it, you think, well, I should be doing it too, and if I'm not doing it, then I'm not enjoying myself. And if you as a Christian say, hold on, we say, do you think God's happy with that? If you take and shine a wee light on their activities, the light of the gospel, because that's what the Lord is referred to as the light of the world. If you shine the gospel light on their gospel, on their goings on, people's not going to be very happy. They're not going to be very happy with you because you carry the light. Because regardless of whether they love the Lord or hate the Lord, or worship devils at midnight reciting the Lord's Prayer backwards, or sacrificing chickens, or whatever it is that people do that hate Jesus, the Word of God has authority and power to pierce through all of the nonsense and pretty much to shut down any argument. And people stay away from it. Let me rephrase that. People that are enjoying and making a place for their life, making a place in their life for sin, they want to stay away from it. Even religious people who have spent their whole lives in church, just like Nicodemus, have no idea. And that pride and all of their good works will be the very thing that stops them from humbling themselves and saying, you know what, my whole life I've done wrong. I should have gotten saved. I should have trusted in Jesus Christ. And a wee word about Nicodemus. He did get saved. And he did become a follower of Jesus. In fact, I think he turned up with, was it 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe at aloes at the Lord's tomb. The state of our world today is actually that bad. People don't even pretend that they're doing the right thing anymore. There we have, as we mentioned earlier on in the service, Justin Trudeau, one of the most wicked men in the face of this world, he doesn't even blush when he advocates for the bringing in of euthanasia. I am sure the man that brought an abortion considered himself to be a leader in his field. He should have been leading a couple of cows plowing a field. At least maybe he would have been leading them doing something useful. And they said it will only be for emergencies and in extreme cases. And now they will even break the bonds of family and they will second little girls away from their parents' authority and kill their unborn babies for them. And they don't even blush. They're not even one bit ashamed. They will take a live baby and they will let it die in a delivery room. A perfectly healthy live baby, because the law has allowed the mother to let it die, to kill it and call it an abortion. It's not a person until somebody decides that it's a person. Well, I have news for you. God considers even those that are not yet formed in their mother's womb a person. And anyone that has taken part in an abortion is marked as a murderer through the endless ages of eternity, and that can only be taken away whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would hate to be in the position of running away from God. God gives you your 70 and a few more because you've looked after yourself and you've been good to your mummy and daddy. Say you live till you're 80 years old or 90 years old or 100 years old or 110. Say you get your value for money out of your pension scheme, which it seems only the governments will be getting that at the moment. And you spend your whole life running, trying to avoid any mention of God. trying to avoid the Egypt standing on the street corner with a wee gospel tract in the Bible, or plugging your ears when some fool with a megaphone is preaching. You spend your whole life doing that. You never go to funerals, you never go to hospitals, you never go to church. You never turn on the TV at Easter or or Christmas for the religious addresses. You spend your whole life avoiding that. And you think when you get to your end that just because you've avoided God, that you've avoided judgment. At the end of this life, the Word of God says, your body returns to the dust. The spirit, the little spark that keeps your heart pumping and your neurons in your head firing, that goes back to Him that gave it. That's God. And you, your soul, it goes where you chose for it to go. Pastor Asquith came up with a very interesting little quote and came across it on Facebook. He said, "You're not a body that has a soul. You are a soul that has a body." And that's worth remembering. We would need to understand that someday we're going to stand in front of God. In fact, there's a whole chapter dedicated to it in the book of Revelation. And it says, it talks about John saw this great multitude of people, of dead, small and great. In other words, they never trusted Christ as Savior. They don't have life, and they don't have more abundant life. They thought they had, but they didn't. Saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. It's these books, 66 of them, and another book was open, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of the books according to their works. In other words, what did they do? What laws did they break? Which of God's laws about drinking, about immorality, about taking the Lord's name in vain? Bear in mind, in the Old Testament, the man was put to death for taking the Lord's name in vain. That's the standard we're talking about here. Everyone's guilty. And it goes on to talk about a few other things, but at the very, very last, a lot of people say, well, I did enough good deeds. At the very end it says, whoever's name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Every single second, you can spend your entire life running from God, but one day you'll stand in front of Him. And no matter how much you say, oh, I don't believe in God, you can say that to your heart's content. You can say it to your heart's content, but God is alive and well. My Father sits and his throne in heaven. My big brother, Jesus Christ, my Savior, sits at his right hand, fighting my corner whenever I commit sins, and the devil comes up and says, Lord, Mark did this, or Mark thought this, or laughed at this, or whatever it was. He's not a liar. For the one time of his life, he tells the truth, and it's all to our detriment. The Lord intercedes for me. My Savior intercedes for me. And even now, the Holy Spirit keeps me, saves me, until the day of the rapture, until the day that I stand in front of Him in heaven. The Holy Spirit supplies me with the words to speak, with the messages to bring, with the notes to put down. Even now. And He loves us that much. He's prepared to do that for us. We need to remember that there is a difference between people that are saved and lost, and that as we go through this life as Christians, before I digress too far off the beaten track, that whenever you live for Jesus, you are going to make people uncomfortable. People are going to be one of two things when you talk to them about the Lord. They're going to get angry, or they're going to be glad. They'll be glad to meet a kindred spirit, or they'll be glad to hear the gospel because they were desperately seeking, or they'll be angry because you have made them feel bad about the lives that they lead. It is not up to you to monitor their feelings. It is not up to you to decide what they are going to do, and we shouldn't get bent out of shape about what other people decide to do. All that we can do
is look after ourselves. We only have control over our own bodies and what we do and what we say. And the Bible says to let our light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, because that's what it's all about. It's not about, don't I look good? It's really about, look what God can do with me, a wicked and miserable sinner. That's what it's about. And the thing about it all is, I have to take my little torch out for a demo. That's quite bright. I think that's on the highest set. And if I was to hold that there, it would act as a hand warmer in about a minute. If I do that, you've got a little light. If I do that, you've got a bigger light. And if I do that, you've got the biggest light. We don't see very much of it because we're in a well-lit room and it's not too far off of a nice bright day outside. But if it was completely black, even that little light will give you enough light in this room to avoid breaking your neck falling over those chairs when you're trying to get to the back door. And that's all God asks us to do. To let our light so shine before men, whether it's a 1,000-watt searchlight, a 1-megawatt laser, or whether it's one candle. Just to do what he puts in front of you, to do it faithfully. And when people ask you why it is that you're doing what it is, that you tell them that he loved you so much that he gave a son and you accepted him as your Savior, and that's all you got to do. Don't be worried when people are not happy to see you. Because once word gets around that you're saved, even your very presence is going to be like a lantern held up and will show people up and make them feel bad. But again, that's not your problem. That's your duty and your honour. To do the work, as Jesus said, of him that sent you, and to finish his work. Just shine a little light. The world is wicked, and it's dark, and it's circling the drain, in all honesty. And all that the Lord has to work for him, is you and me. So let's do for him as much as we can. Amen. Thank you for your good time. We'll take our hymn book out, and we're going to finish with, God be with you till we meet again. I think we have it in our books. It is number 19. Number 19. Let's stand, guys. Let's sing this stand. Thank you. time. Please watch over us and keep us as we part company and see us safely home. I pray for rest and recuperation this coming week and in the weeks and months and years to come, Lord. We just pray for your good hand upon us. We love you and praise you. Please go before us, Lord. Please fight those battles that only you can fight. And Lord, give us the wisdom and the wherewithal to fight the ones that we need to. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.